If you've got your Bibles, do you want to open them up at Colossians chapter 1, which is where what we've been looking at? I hope you're prepared and ready to share yourselves. There's a couple of opportunities for us to talk to each other again and just try and get into this word and what God wants to say to us through it. There's an old hymn that I'm sure some of you are familiar with. It begins, "Who is he in yonder stall?" Just some of you know that one. "Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall?" And it goes on to say, "'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story, 'tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall, crown him, Lord of all." There's this sense that in the stable, we've been thinking about this question, who is it in the manger? This sense that, and this truth, not just a sense, but a truth, that the one in the manger is not just the baby, but is the Lord of all. And over the last few weeks, as we've been thinking about Colossians 1, we've thought about Jesus. It begins verse 15. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. And verse 19, that in Jesus, the fullness of the deity was pleased to exist. Jesus is both the image of God, the true perfect image of God, and the fullness of God. In him, all the fullness, everything complete, was pleased to dwell. We also thought a bit later, a couple of weeks ago, from verse 16 and 17, that Jesus, the one who's in the manger, is, although that's not particularly what Paul is addressing, he's addressing the Colossian church about who Jesus is, and he says he's the creator and sustainer of the world. And we have that in some of our carols, don't we, that here in the manger is the one who flung the stars into space. This incredible picture of Jesus, the one born amongst us. And then last week in the evening, we thought about Jesus, the reconciler, that the one in the manger, the one who is to be born, is the one sent by God to reconcile everything in all creation, men, women, children, the whole of creation, to reconcile the whole of creation with God the Father. So some amazing things from this passage in Colossians chapter 1. And this morning, I just want to think a little bit about this. Jesus, the hope of glory. Verse 24 to verse 27. So shall we just turn to that now and let's read that together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to you, the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Paul writes in verse 25 that he had become the servant of the church, because he had been commissioned by God to present, as he says in verse 25, the word of God in all its fullness, and specifically to the Gentiles. Remember, as I said over the last few weeks, that Paul is writing to a church to counteract false teaching that had infiltrated the church and was undermining the gospel that Paul had preached, that the Colossians had believed, that they had come, that they had accepted and received and believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And these false teachers had come in and were denying the uniqueness and the divinity of Jesus. They were claiming that he was something other than what Paul had told them. And Paul was here reiterating and reasserting what they believed, the gospel. And Paul reminds the church of his own attested credentials, that he was called by God directly, and that his teaching was based not on human knowledge or wisdom, but on what God himself had revealed to him, because the word that he was sent was the word of God, not the word of some false teacher or some philosophy, but was the word of God. And then he goes on to explain this is the mystery. The mystery, this word of God, is the mystery. The mystery that had been kept hidden, it was nothing new. It had been in the heart of God from the beginning of time, but it had now been revealed. It had been veiled from full sight, from full knowledge, but now it had been revealed, fully revealed. It made me think of the great chapter in Hebrews 11, where the author writes about all those that he's just written a great long list of all the faithful in the Old Testament, and he writes of those, these have all died in the faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. So they had perceived this mystery. They had even seen it and welcomed it, but only from a distance. It is only in Christ that this mystery that Paul is talking about, that's been kept hidden for generations, has now been revealed. And this mystery is, of course, the gospel, God's plan of salvation for all people through the Messiah, through his Son, Jesus Christ. He spent, if we've been around over the last few weeks, or if you've read Colossians 1, he spent most of Colossians 1 so far explaining what the gospel is, from verse 3 to 13 and verse 20 to 23, that in Christ the whole of creation has been reconciled to God. And elsewhere, particularly in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel. And in particular, the mystery that we Gentiles have been included with God's people, with the Jews, and are recipients of all God's promises. This mystery, this incredible mystery that we have been included in. And then Paul goes on to describe this mystery as having glorious riches. Isn't that a wonderful little phrase? Glorious riches. I'm sorry, I know every week, for one reason or another, I seem to have mentioned the BBC's Blue Planet. And I don't apologise, because it's a phenomenal programme. But like, as has been so clearly explained to us, like the oceans on our planet, the gospel, the good news of what God has done in Jesus, had riches, had treasures that were yet to be fully appreciated by the Colossian Christians. They had heard something, they received it, but they and they knew something of it, but they didn't know it fully. They didn't know it enough, because some of them were beginning to walk away from it. But they needed to grasp it fully. So Paul writes to them to explain the glorious riches, like the depth of the oceans, the glorious riches of the gospel. In his prayer, if you want to just turn back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 16, look at Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. He says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Do you know, we will never have plumbed the depths of the ocean of the gospel, the glorious gospel. Paul prays that they will know him better. In verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that was Paul's prayer, that the Ephesian people may know him better, may know the glories of the gospel better. And that's what he's referring to here also in Colossians chapter 1. And then Paul goes on to reveal the glorious nugget, the little truth that is the heart of these glorious riches, the heart of this mystery. And the nugget that Paul is aiming for, the nugget that Paul is working towards is this, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Eugene Peterson's message version puts it simply like this. He says, the mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. It's that simple. The glorious mystery, the nugget, Christ is in you. The Old Testament prophet Joel prophesied that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. In the Gospels, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come and would live amongst and in the disciples. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are a temple of the Holy Spirit and that God's Spirit lives in you? And in Galatians 2:20, he shares his own testimony. He says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but, what did he go on to say? Christ lives in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I was a bit overwhelmed by this. And I thought to myself, as if it wasn't enough that Jesus should be born amongst us. As if that wasn't enough all by itself. As if it wasn't enough that Jesus should be born amongst us and live amongst us and then give his life for us. Surely that would have been enough to die for us. Even to rise again from the dead for us. Surely that would have been enough. God, surely that is as far as you would have deemed to come. But no. The fullness of the gospel is this. Christ in you. Christ in you. I think that's a profound thought, one that I'm very familiar with. But nevertheless, I was once again grasped by the glorious riches of that truth. Christ in me. The one who tomorrow we celebrate as being born amongst us, Emmanuel, God with us, now lives in us. By his Spirit. We don't deserve any of this. We didn't deserve that he should be born among us, let alone die for us, let alone rise again for us. We do not deserve to have our sins forgiven. We did not deserve to have to be recipients of eternal life. But as well as receiving all of that, Christ in you. Christ in me. As if being born in a stable wasn't enough. To be born in me, to live in me, this, which is probably even more unclean than a stable. Christ in you. And finally, Paul goes on to say that the presence of Christ in us is declared the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope is the joyful expectation of anticipation of what is to come. Who's hopeful about some of the presents you're going to get tomorrow? I'm not too hopeful. I've seen them. No, I haven't. Hope, the joyful anticipation, the joyful expectation of what is to come, and glory, that which those who are Christ, who belong to Christ, glory is that which we will receive when we graduate to heaven. And Christ in you, Paul says, is the hope of glory. The truth expressed here is that Christ dwelling in you and me is the ground for certainty of one day complete salvation. Because he is in me now, I will receive what he has prepared for me. Go back again to Ephesians chapter 1. And just a bit earlier, verse 13. And listen to what Paul says here. Verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit who lives in us, who belong to Christ, is a deposit guaranteeing. It's a down payment. Here's the first bit, a guarantee of what is then to come, Paul says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What I'd like you to do for a moment, just so that you can talk to each other, what I'd love you to do just for a moment is to think for yourself and to talk perhaps with the person next to you or the people around you. What does the hope of glory mean for you? What does it mean? Okay, perhaps we'll hold on the question for you in a moment. What does it mean? If you were standing up here trying to explain that expression, what would you be saying? What does it mean? Okay, so just take a minute to talk about that amongst yourselves. What does it mean? What does the hope of glory mean? Okay. Let me have some ideas. What does the hope of glory mean? What are some of the thoughts that you have? Some. To be in his presence. Yeah, that anticipation of being in his presence. Doesn't that bring a smile to your face?
Too much to comprehend.
Too much to comprehend. Okay, so there's almost, in that little expression, you're saying that it's just too much to really fully comprehend. Yeah, and I think that's what Paul is saying, isn't it? That these glorious riches, like the depth of the oceans, they just go on and on and on. And we may think we discover a part of it, but actually it goes on and on and on. And we shall never be able to fully, until we're in his presence perhaps, fully comprehend what the glories of these riches.
Any scientists and astrologers believe they know.
Yeah.
The universe exists. So
yeah.
Suddenly find now that there's another one beyond that.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Jeffrey.
When we were translating into Hama,
yeah.
We couldn't translate this word by, oh, I hope I'll get something nice.
Yeah.
This is talking about the certainty.
Yeah.
This is something that with Christ in us, we are certain for.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Yeah, a certainty. Yeah, the hope is not a, is a certainty of glory. Yeah. Thank you. Yep. What, and just those last few words, just read those last few words again. How does that passage end?
Right, it's Corinthians 13. Yeah. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror.
Yeah.
Then we shall see face to face.
Hallelujah. Does that bring a smile to your face? Because if it doesn't, we need a chat. At the moment, we see in part, as in a mirror, darkly. But then, we shall see face to face. Now that's the hope of glory. I'm going to say that in a minute when I try and summarise. That's a hope that I have. That my hope of glory is that I'll see him face to face. And I can't, well I can. I've still got shopping to do and all that sort of stuff. Anything else? Yeah. Anything else? What does the hope of glory mean to you? Christine? Sorry, it'd be helpful if you could.
Sorry, it's the restoration of the world.
Okay.
Things being made as they should be.
Fabulous.
No more weeping and gnashing.
Fabulous.
And mourning. And
yes.
So it's the hope of,
yes,
of things returning to how they should be and how, yes, they were created to be.
Fantastic! Isn't that wonderful? That's the hope of glory. It's gonna get sorted. Yeah, anyone else? I can see smiles are beginning. Look, if only I produce a smile on your face today, not because I've been funny, but because this wonderful truth is dawning once again, the impact of it is dawning once again, then I'm content. Anybody else? What's the hope of glory?
Huh?
It's unquantified, which is what Howard has said also, isn't it? It's deep, it's deep, it's deep, it's deep. And that's right. We'll never get to fathom it. Gary, I think you're bursting to say something. Yeah, yeah. Keep him quiet. No chance.
I look at it this way. If you imagine you're inside and all the windows all steamed up and you're trying to pierce through, and you can see something, but you can't. But as soon as you rub it,
yeah,
it's all clear.
Yeah.
And that is, I believe, what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything will be shown.
You see it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anybody else? Please, even if you're visiting, if you'd like to say something, you're welcome. Are you desperate to say something? It's so lovely to see you again.
I think it's mostly already been covered, but I was thinking a new heaven and a new earth.
New heaven and a new earth. Yes. That's the hope of glory, isn't it? That's our hope. All of these things. Thank you so much. Let me try and summarise, and I'm going to repeat just some of the things that you've shared. Going back to Eugene Peterson's version, he continues his sentence by saying this: the mystery in a nutshell is just this, Christ in you. Therefore, he says, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Who's anybody here looking forward to that? Possibly one or two of us. Well, okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Very much indeed. Let me try and summarise. Again, I'm just repeating some of the things that you have said here. This is what Christ in me, the hope of glory. This assures me of my ultimate resurrection and salvation. Because Jesus lives in me, I know that on that day, whenever it is, I will be raised. Thank you, Neil. Preach it, brother. I know it. And I know that although I am saved now, on that day, Christ in me assures me that I will be one day fully saved, fully redeemed. Christ in me, it assures me that I can be transformed into his likeness. And I put can there because actually a lot of it is down to me and my response to this, and we'll come back to that. But Christ in me assures me that I can be transformed into his likeness, and that one day God's image, which is in me marred, will one day be beautifully and fully and wonderfully restored. I will be what I'm meant to be. Is that bringing a smile to your face? Yeah, because you're all looking forward to me being what I should be. But what about yourselves? Christ in me assures me, I think this is what Christine said, Christ in me assures me that God is restoring not just me, and not just his image in me, but he's restoring the whole of creation. The Bible says that, doesn't it? That the whole of creation groans until that day when it too will be fully redeemed and will become what it was meant to be in the first place. A new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. Christ in me assures me of this. Christ in me assures me that one day I will meet Jesus face to face. Do I hear an amen, Neil? Amen. Amazing. Is that producing a smile on your face? One day. That's what Christ in me promises. That's what it assures me of. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I will see him face to face. And Christ in me assures me that one day I will receive that heavenly reward that has been promised to me, that the Bible says is kept in heaven for me, and it cannot perish, it cannot be stolen, it cannot fade away. Christ in me is the hope of my glory. It's not some vain hope out there. It's because he lives in me that I have this hope, that I have this assurance, that I have this certainty. It's not because I'm well-read, because I'm not. It's not because I'm clever, because I'm not. It's not because I'm theologically trained, because I'm not. Yeah, I suppose I am. It's because Christ is in me. This is the nugget, the glorious nugget of the gospel. Yes, we're saved. Yes, Jesus was born amongst us. Yes, he died for us. Yes, he rose again for us. Yes, he ascended into heaven for us. But yes, because he lives in me. The glorious nutshell of the gospel is that Jesus is in us. This is profound. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I want us to pause for thought. This is where the tire hits the road. This is where I want us to think about our own lives. When was the last time you stopped and thanked God for this incredible blessing? We say, thank you, Lord, that you died for me. You gave your life for me. And that's, of course, paramount. when did we last stop and thank God for this incredible blessing? Jesus, born, living in me, living in you. Just pause. Do you believe it? Do you believe? Have you yourself received Christ into your life? Because if not, he may not be living in you at the moment. But for those who have believed, to those who have received Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you are a believer here this morning, are you daily conscious of Jesus' presence in your life? Daily conscious of the presence of Jesus in your life? I hope we've all moved beyond that state of affairs where Jesus is for Sunday and Sunday alone. Or Jesus is for my quiet time in the morning. But then somehow he sort of stays at home while I go about my business. Are you daily conscious in every moment, at home, at work, wherever that may be, wherever you are, of the presence of Jesus in your life? I'm going to move on to ask you to just think and talk perhaps again about this question. What difference does or should this make in our lives? This is the practical application of this passage. But before I do, has anybody got anything they want to say? Anything they sense the Spirit might be saying to them? For us, just a word or two. Anything anybody else wants to say about this?
Gabby always asks that she would like to see Jesus. She says, "Mummy, why can't I see Jesus?" And then it's very difficult to answer. And then I say, "Oh, well, you can feel Jesus." But yes, now we can't see Jesus. One day we'll be able to see Jesus, but not now. But you can see Jesus in your heart. You can feel Jesus. It's difficult to explain something that I myself find difficult to grasp. Mm. And then now, by reflecting, I felt the Holy Spirit giving me sort of an answer. Like, every time we choose to do good, we choose to live according to God's will, we are close to Jesus, and we actually Jesus in us is
living.
Yes, when we choose to live according to the world and the flesh, then we are distant from Jesus.
Okay.
So yeah, to say that to her, but to say that to everyone.
Yeah. Thank you. Let me ask this question then. What difference does or should this make in our lives? What difference? It's a good illustration that Flavio has just given us. What difference? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? We've got this hope of glory which we've thought about and discussed. What difference is that going to make to me today, right here, right now, this afternoon, when I'm at work, etc., etc.? Okay, so just take a minute or two to talk about that with people around you, because this is, and be as honest as you can, how is this going to affect how I live today? Okay. Now, I'm not. Wouldn't want to encourage you to share your deepest, darkest secrets. But for me, I think I heard Colin say that this passage isn't just about the future. It is how the future affects me today. And because it is Christ in me, he's here right now. He's in me. Therefore, if he's in me, how's that going to affect my life? How's that going to affect? Now, of course, the easy answer to that is, well, we won't come on to the easy answer. Let's.
I should be listening for what God and Christ want me to do on a daily basis. I should be listening all the time, and then I should be obedient.
Lovely. That's about listening. That's about listening, isn't it? Christ, Christ in us. Christ in us. And what is he saying? Are we listening? I suppose that's the first thing. Are we listening to that voice, to his voice? And then are we going to do what he says, or are we, is our flesh going to win the day again? I speak to myself before I speak to anybody else. Hearing, listening, doing, yeah.
The one person I've been thinking about through this whole passage this morning, and old friends will know him, remember him, is Arthur Kenny, who was a good friend and member of this church for a long, long time, who had a body that was totally crippled by cerebral palsy, but had an incredibly active mind.
Yeah.
And Arthur's hope, his knowledge was that when he got to heaven, as he was going to heaven, he would be able to do all the things that he couldn't do here. But that didn't stop him from trying to do and achieve as much as he possibly could.
Yeah.
I won't say physically could, because he couldn't do anything physically, but mentally.
Yeah.
Stretch himself.
Yeah.
Push himself.
Yeah.
Not sit back and accept his lot for what it was, but to try and do as much and achieve as much as he could.
Yeah.
But he knew that one day he would wear the number 9 shirt, run out at Anfield, score the hat-trick that won Liverpool the championship. You know, okay, that's a bit of a miracle, but you know. But that was Arthur's dream. And actually, if we want a picture of hope and glory, just think of Arthur.
Yeah, lovely. I mean, I have to say, I've been thinking of Bill and Eileen a lot. You know, in recent weeks, as we've been praying for you. Bill's not here, he's just gone out, but you know, what does it mean to you? I don't want to put you on the spot. Well, I can do if you like. But what is it? This is where I'm trying to earth it. This is not theory. How does it affect my day?
I think it means if I have this hope, I should not be selfish.
Okay.
I should share this hope with some other people.
Right.
That have not known Christ.
Yes.
So, Christ is my hope.
Yes.
Do I want to have it alone?
Yes.
Others can share in it.
Yes. Okay, thank you. There's an outward looking there, isn't there? Yeah. We share, not because we slot, because the pastor at the front says, you've got to go out and tell your friends about Jesus. We don't do it like that, because we do it because of the hope that is within us. Christ in us. Yes, thank you. Yes, sorry.
We thought that actually it's easier to have Christ-like attitudes and be Christ-like in big things, but sometimes it's the little things of life that trip us up. And the difference it should make to our lives, the hope of glory, is that everything we do, we see through Jesus' eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just talked a silly illustration about cold callers and actually not being rude to them, being firm, but because thinking, well, they're earning a living, some, you know.
Yeah.
It's a silly thing, but
it's
little things.
It's not. It's expanding that. It's about how we treat every single person. We've been appalled at the fights and arguments that we've experienced in Sainsbury's. Seriously. We have never experienced road rage as we've experienced in these areas. Serious? Yes. Because people are... I don't know why, but the touch paper is like this. And people being rude to the checkout people in Sainsbury's. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
What time do you go?
I've been going
to...
Well, talk to Denise. We've experienced it a lot in the last couple of weeks, all the time. But, I mean, it's taking Hillary's point, isn't it? You know, we've got to be so careful about how we relate to other people, even cold callers. Even, well, you could go on. But if Christ is in us, the point is it affects my speaking to every single person. Every single person. How I relate, how I behave. Doesn't it? Responsibility. Flavia says responsibility, yes. Yeah. Basically, I think it affects everything. Are you itching to say something? Oh, you're not? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, anxiety and trust. We do feel anxious. We do. But I think what I'm trying to want to get across is exactly that. Is that actually Christ in me, the hope of glory, enables me to transcend all of those anxieties, worries, and so on and so forth. Gives me a different perspective. Okay, we could go on. We haven't got time. Can I just invite you to just close your eyes? And I just really want to encourage you, us as church, you as a disciple of Jesus, me as a disciple of Jesus. That the glorious truth of the gospel is, yes, Jesus was born amongst us. Yes, Jesus died for us in our place. Yes, he rose again. Hallelujah. Yes, he is coming again. But the glorious riches of this mystery is this: Christ in you. And my prayer is that that truth today will strengthen you, will encourage you, will put joy in your heart and a smile on your face, and will carry you through all that you are holding and facing and doing in life. I pray that that knowledge of Christ in you, the hope of glory, will cause each one of us to take care over the way we speak to others, to take care over the way we behave with others, to take care in all of these things. Because if Christ is in you and me, then he wants his presence to be made manifest in your life and in mine. And my prayer for you today is that you will be conscious of the presence of Jesus, the glorious riches, this treasure. You will be conscious of his presence in your life today, in all that you do. I just want to close. I've been singing very gently, it's a beautiful song, we've sung it before. Perhaps you just put the words up for us. Holy Spirit, living breath of God. It's a beautiful song. Look at these words. Look at these words. Let's just flick through them, read through them, so that we can sing them with some kind of meaning. Holy Spirit, breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Have you got an open heart today to receive more? Let the presence of the risen Lord come renew my heart and make me whole. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Perhaps it's about healing our wounds as well. our anxieties, our fears. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Verse 2. Holy Spirit, come abide within. We just have that moment to say, Lord, come, fill me afresh with your Spirit. May your joy be seen in all I do. Love enough to cover every sin, in each thought and deed and attitude. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Kindness to the greatest and the cold caller. Gentleness that sows the path of peace. Turn my strivings into works of grace. Breath of God, show Christ in all I do. And the last verse. Holy Spirit, from creation's birth, giving life to all that God has made, show your power once again on earth. Cause your church to hunger for your ways. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise. Lead us on the road of sacrifice, that in unity the face of Christ may be clear for all the world to see. That's the other thing, unity. We may think that we're united by a common creed. We're not. We're united because of Christ in us. So let's sing this song.